Thank you, Jordan. Let's take our Bibles and be turning to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1. If the children are headed to children's church, this is the time to go. And let's go to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1. If you need a Bible, our ushers have Bibles for you to use this morning. Just raise your hand if you would, please, and they'll bring you a copy of the Word of God so you'll be able to follow along. So if you don't have a Bible, don't be shy, don't be timid. Raise your hand so you can get a copy of the Bible so you'll be able to follow right along. The book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1. You'll find this on page 1241, book of Galatians and Galatians chapter 1. Anybody else need a copy of the Bible? Just raise your hand if you would, please, and go with us to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1, using one of our Bibles, page 1241, the book of Galatians in Galatians chapter 1. We're so glad that each of you are here with us this morning. You know, folks like to get in on the ground level of things, and if you're here this morning, you're getting in on the ground level of the beginning of our study of the book of Galatians. We're going to take time to go through this book verse by verse, chapter by chapter, starting in chapter 1, going all the way through chapter 6, and over the next weeks and months, we are, as a church, are going to study this wonderful little book known as Galatians. This morning's message is just really going to scratch the surface, get us started, sort of into the thought, the train of thinking of the book of Galatians, introductory message here this morning. If you're physically able to do so, we'd like for you to stand for our scripture reading. You follow along in your Bibles. We're going to read the first five verses of Galatians chapter 1, then I'll pray and let you be seated. Notice verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for the privilege of being here in your house and gathered together with your people. And now, Lord, to sit at your feet and to hear the Word of God. Father, we pray for great liberty and freedom in the preaching of it this morning. I pray that the Spirit of God would open our eyes, give us understanding into the truths of this book. And Father, I pray that we as a church will certainly stand where this book teaches us to stand. We'll praise you and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. When we begin to think about the book of Galatians, here in the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 1, in verses 1 and 2, the Bible tells us that it was written by the Apostle Paul. Notice it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, nor by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And notice it goes on to say, and all the brethren which are with me, and he's writing, notice, unto the churches. The churches of Galatia. Unlike many of the other epistles that Paul wrote, which were directed to individualized churches. Not too long ago, we finished our study of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians was addressed to one specific church, the church that was located at Ephesus. If you read 1 Corinthians is addressed to the church that is at Corinth. And many of Paul's epistles were addressed to just one specific church. But here in the book of Galatians, he's writing to a group of churches, if you would please. They are churches that were located in a Roman province that was known as Galatia. Paul had gone there on his missionary journeys. He had won people to Christ. He had established local, independent, Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches just like ours. And he had done that throughout this region of Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey, if you would please. And so now he's writing to this epistle to those churches. Unfortunately, after Paul had gone there, had brought the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to these people, won them to the Savior, established some churches, there were some false teachers who followed after him. Very unfortunate this took place. They were called the Judaizers. And the Judaizers taught a contrary message to what the Apostle Paul taught. The Judaizers were people who said, Paul is nice, he's a nice guy, and what he had to say to you is okay to a certain degree. But in addition to what he has said to you, We want you to understand that you've got to be obedient to the commandments of God. That was the emphasis of the Judaizers. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would please, to the book of Acts. Hold Galatians, we'll come right back. But go with me to the book of Acts in Acts chapter 15, where it speaks of these Judaizers, if you would please. Page 1169. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 15, it speaks of these Judaizers and the emphasis that they taught, if you would please. In Acts chapter 15, in verse 1, the Bible says, "And certain men which came down from Judea," that's where we get the idea of Judaizers, "they came from Judea, they taught," now notice what it says, "they taught" who? The brethren. They're teaching people that had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what they're teaching the brethren. "And said unto them, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses." Now look at their bold teaching. You cannot be what? You cannot be saved. They were saying there is no salvation if you do not submit yourself to the rite of circumcision. And that was putting themselves back under the Old Testament law. So these Judaizers were saying that there must be obedience to the commandments of God in the Old Testament or you're not going to have salvation. Now, it's very unfortunate that they followed the heels of Paul, that they were undermining Paul's message and trying to correct, if you would please, the message that the Apostle Paul had proclaimed. And it is more unfortunate that some of the people at Galatia started believing them. Go back to the book of Galatians, if you would please. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And when we get over to Galatians chapter 3, notice, if you would, in verse 1. In Galatians chapter 3, in verse 1, Paul says this to the Galatian believers. He says, "O foolish Galatians." O what? Foolish Galatians. Why is he calling these people foolish? Well, look what the Bible says. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" The word bewitched means to trick or deceive. Who has deceived you? Who has tricked you? Now look at what the Bible says. "That you should not obey the" what? Oh, you've been carried away from the truth. "Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you." Let's go on. Verse 2. "This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law?" Judaizers teaching. "Except ye be circumcised, you cannot be" what? "Saved." So Paul's saying to these Galatians believers, "Hey, did you receive the Spirit of God by the works of the law?" Well, the honest answer was
no.
No, they didn't receive the Spirit by the works of the law. No one's ever received the Spirit by the works of the law. He goes on and says, or by the hearing of faith. And the answer was they received the Spirit by the hearing of what?
Faith,
because salvation is by grace through faith, which we'll explain in just a little bit. And he goes on in verse 3, he says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the" what?
Flesh.
"By the flesh." And when you submit to the rite of circumcision and put yourself under the law or obedience to the commandments to get to heaven, you're saying that salvation is coming through your flesh, through what you're doing for God. There's a real issue. There's a real issue that's taking place here that the book of Galatians is addressing. And I want you to understand this morning, folks, it's not just an issue of Paul's day. This error has been passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation so that it is still an error in the day that you and I are living in, where people are saying that faith in Christ alone is not enough to get you to heaven. You also must add your works along with it, the deeds of your what?
Flesh.
Of your flesh. And so the book of Galatians was written as a defense of the gospel of the grace of God. That's what this epistle is all about. It is a defense. It is standing for the truth that salvation comes to us by God's grace and it's received through what? Faith plus and minus nothing. That's the message. Now, this morning's message here is an introduction getting us into this epistle. And as we begin to get into this epistle and realize it is a defense of the gospel, the grace of God, church, I want to say to you this morning, there are three principles of truth that we as a body of believers must uncompromisingly adhere to. When I say uncompromisingly adhere to, we're not budging from these things. If we're going to be faithful, loyal, and true to the gospel of the grace of God. And I want to give you those three principles here this morning, and I want you to think with me. Today's message is a message that I want you to think. I want you to look in the Bible. I want you to see the truths. This is not anything that any of us can afford to err on in our lives. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what determines our eternal destiny. If we're right on the gospel, we're going to end up in the right place. If we're wrong on the gospel, we're going to end up in a place that we will regret for all of eternity. So this is an issue that none of us can afford to be wrong on. So these principles that I want to give you this morning of truth that we must uncompromisingly adhere to if we're going to be faithful to the gospel of the grace of God. Number one, I want you to understand here this morning that man's works, regardless of how sincere or well-intended, you know, people just say, be sincere. Be sincere. You hear folks say that all the time, don't you? Doesn't matter what you believe, just be sincere. Okay? Well, you can be sincere and sincerely wrong. Absolutely. Right? It does matter what you believe. Amen. And so I want you to understand, first of all, that man's works, regardless of how sincere or well-intended, have absolutely nothing to do with man's salvation. Works do not bring about salvation. They do not get us to heaven. Can I say it any clearer? They have absolutely nothing to do. Absolutely nothing to do with man's salvation. Now, don't take my word for it. We're going to take the Bible's word for it. We're going to let the Word of God be our authority on this. So let's take our Bibles. You can just put your bulletin in Galatians. We'll come back there and go with me to your right to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. Again, I'm just laying a foundation this morning to getting going into the study. You're in on the ground level. Man, this is great. This is exciting. And that means that you won't want to miss next week. Because if you miss next week, you'll miss part of it. All right? You don't want to do that. All right? You'll come to vacation time this summer and you say, man, I don't want to go on vacation. I don't want to miss part of this, all right? Titus chapter 2, over to your right, page 1,284. You say, I don't know about that, Pastor. No, I'm serious about that. You know, the Word of God is exciting. And when you learn the truth of the Word of God, well, you don't want to miss it. You want to get all that you can. And here in the book of Titus, in Titus chapter 2, notice if you would please, in verse 11. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Do you see the verse? Let's read it together once, please. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, begin. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, I brush that verse because I want you to see throughout the epistle of Galatians, we're going to be talking a lot about this word grace. And grace stands in opposition to works. The two are not the same. In the very moment you take works and add it to grace, you have ceased to have grace. Grace is God's kindness to us when we don't deserve it. Grace is God sending His Son Jesus to die in our place. The innocent one for the guilty ones. That's grace. We're not worthy of that. We don't deserve that. Grace is God's willingness to exercise forgiveness to us and to bring salvation to us as a gift, something that we receive, something that we take, not something that we earn or deserve or work for. And I want you to realize that the Bible is teaching us here in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, it is the grace of God that bringeth what? Salvation. My friend, if you want God's salvation brought to you, and salvation is the idea of being delivered from an eternal hell and having eternity in heaven with God, if you want to be absolutely certain you'll never die and go to hell and that you are going to be in heaven with God for all of eternity, you've got to let God's grace bring it to you. There's no other way you can get it. It is the grace of God that brings us what? Salvation. Notice the verse. What's it say? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. It does not say the works of men bring salvation, does it? It says the what? The grace of God. Now take your Bibles and turn with me to your left. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Just over to your left. Not too far. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Page 1279 in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at this please. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 9. Look what the Bible tells us here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. The Bible says, who hath, look at this now, who hath what? Saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now look at this. Not according to our what?
Works.
Boy, that's pretty clear, is it not? God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, but it has not been according to our what?
Works.
Not according to our works. Judaizers, listen up. Look at the Word of God. Open your eyes. Hey, you're saying if you're not circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved. Wait a minute. God says He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our what? You're telling me I must be circumcised. That is a work of my what? Flesh. And God says it's not by works. And notice what it goes on to say. The contrast. All right, it's not by our works. But it's according to His purpose, and here it is. Here's our word, and what?
Grace.
And grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, if that's not enough to convince you, let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 4. The book of Romans, in Romans chapter 4, page 1196, please. The book of Romans in Romans chapter 4. We're going to walk our way through a passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 4 here this morning. And in Romans chapter 4, the whole discussion that's taking place revolves around around a man by the name of Abraham. Anybody ever heard of Abraham?
Oh, yeah.
Good. All right. He's that Old Testament man of faith, right? The father of the Jewish nation. Yeah, our God. We believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so in Romans chapter 4, it speaks about Abraham. And it talks about how Abraham was made righteous or justified in the sight of God. How did Abraham find his acceptance with God? How did he come into a right or good standing before God so that he would be assured of having a home for all of eternity in heaven? Now, think about that as we go through this. Verse 1. Verse 1 begins by asking a question. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath what?
Found.
That's a good question. What did Abraham find out? Did he find out that he could be good enough to go to heaven? That's according to the flesh, is it not? Just be good. Just be good. Did he find that? Did he find that he could work his way to heaven? Well, that's according to the what?
Flesh.
Did he find out that somehow he could earn his way into the family of God? What did Abraham find out according to the flesh? That's the question that's being asked. Let's go on. Verse 3. For if Abraham were justified by works, if he was brought into a right standing before God by his works, look at it, he hath whereof to what? To glory, but not before who? You see, if we can work our way to heaven, if we can get to heaven by what we do, we can be braggarts for all of eternity. Lucky God, here I am. Look at what I did to get here. But you know, the Bible takes all bragging rights away from us. Do you realize that? The Bible takes all bragging rights away from us. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 64 in verse 6 that the very best that you and I can do in life is nothing but a filthy rag. So how in the world can we go around bragging about a filthy rag? I mean, I wouldn't go around bragging about my filthy rag.
Hey, hon, I got this really neat rag out in the garage. I made it really filthy today.
Come on. That wouldn't impress your wife at all. In fact, she's probably not impressed with how dirty you got your clothes in the garage. And we go around parading our righteousness before God, and God says it's nothing but a what? Filthy rag. Not only that, but since we're in Romans and real close, look over in Romans chapter 3. in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says this. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "What then, are we better than they?" In the context, it's talking about, are the Jews better than the Gentiles? Well, the answer is no, in no what? Wise. Now look what it says in verse 9. "For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they're all under what? Sin." Do you see how God sees us? Filthy rags, all under what?
Sin.
All under sin. He goes on the next verse, and notice what he says in the next verse. "As it is written, there is none, what?
Righteous,
no, not one." Well, you say, "Well, I'm not too bad." Well, are really? Look at verse 12. "They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable." Look what God says. "There's none that even doeth what?
Good,
no, not one." When a holy God looks down upon us, He's not impressed. He's not impressed. Some folks might strut their stuff and impress you, but nobody's impressing God by what they've done. So what did Abraham find out? Did Abraham find out that he could be accepted by God through his flesh? The answer is what? No. There's no bragging before God. You might brag before men, but there's no bragging before God. So how did Abraham come into a right standing before God? Go back to Romans 4. Romans 4, verse 3. Romans 4 and verse 3. Look what the Bible says. "For what saith the Scripture?" Boy, what a statement. "For what saith the what?
Scripture."
My friend, have you come to the place in your life where you let this book right here dictate what you're going to believe? What saith the
Scripture?
We all need to know what the Bible says. And take it a step further, we all need to accept what this book says. "For what saith the Scripture?" Now look what the Scripture says. Abraham was this really good dude that lived in the Old Testament. Is that what it says? No. Doesn't say that. That's a terrible paraphrase. "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham did what?
Believed
God. And it was counted to him for..." How did Abraham come into a righteous standing before God? The answer is through faith. Through believing God. And how does anyone come into a righteous standing before God? The answer is through faith. Has nothing to do with your works. It has everything to do with your faith. Now let's go on. He uses an illustration in verse 4. "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of what?
Debt."
Brother Andrew, I want to ask you, did you go to work this week? Did you work every day? Did you work a full 40 hours? Very good. Very good. And you have hard work to do, don't you? Dirty work. Right? When your boss came up to give you your paycheck this week, Brother Andrew, did he look at you and say, "Brother Andrew, you are not worthy of this paycheck. You are not deserving of this paycheck. But out of my grace, out of my kindness, I'm going to give it to you anyhow." Did he say that? No. If he had, what would have been your response? Well, don't tell me. The response of the flesh would be what? I earned it. I worked for it. I what? Deserve it. Don't talk to me about this grace business. Don't talk to me about you being kind to me. Man, I worked for this. You see the illustration of what the Bible's saying? If it's of works, don't call it grace. Because it has nothing to do with grace. It would have something to do with debt. Debt. He worked for his boss. His boss needs to pay the debt. You agree?
Yeah.
Everybody is still working agrees. Pay up, man. See you in the week. Payday. You owe me this. It's a debt. But you see, God is not a debtor to anybody. And He doesn't owe us anything. And in His grace, He sent His Son to die for us so that He could save us by His grace. And verse 5 goes on to make this statement. And this is a verse that you ought to have marked in your Bible. This is a verse that you ought to commit to memory. I don't care how old you are here this today, or seniorly you might be, seasoned, whatever word you want, saintly, how close to heaven you are. This is a verse we all need to have memorized. Verse 5 says this, "But to him that worketh not." God's saying your works have absolutely nothing to do with you getting to heaven. "But to him that worketh not, but by contrast, does what Abraham did, but believes on him," Jesus, "that justifies the ungodly." The Bible says that person's what? Faith is counted for. Abraham believed God and was counted for him for righteousness. When you believe God, that He sent His Son to die to be your Savior, and that Jesus Christ alone and what He did on the cross is all sufficient to get you to heaven. You trust Him. Apart from any work you do, God saves you. God gives you a home up in heaven. And church, if we're going to be true to the gospel of the grace of God, we've got to understand that man's works, regardless of how sincere, how well-intended, have absolutely nothing to do with man's salvation. They have absolutely nothing to do. When God says, "But to him that worketh not," you know what He meant by that? Some folks will say, "That's your interpretation." Well, you interpret it for me, if you think that's my interpretation. "But to him that worketh not." But to him that does some work? But to him that does a little work? How can you interpret it? I like it this way. This is the Southern translation. You'll have to excuse me. "But to him that doesn't do a cotton picking thing." And I wasn't born a Southerner. "To him that doesn't do a cotton picking thing, but he does believe on Jesus to be a Savior." That person's faith is counted for what?
Righteousness.
So I want you to understand, first of all, in understanding the gospel, the grace of God, if we're going to uncompromisingly stand for that, we have to stand for the issue that man's works have nothing to do with going to heaven. They have nothing to do with going to heaven. Nothing to do with going to heaven. And people who are depending upon their works to get them there are not going there. Because man's works have nothing to do with getting to heaven. The second truth I want to bring out to you, if we're going to stand for the gospel of the grace of God, is that when we believe in salvation by grace, the focus is off of us and totally on Jesus. It's off of us and totally on Jesus. If we're going to stand for this message of grace, the focus is off of us and it's totally on Jesus. Go back to Galatians chapter 1. Let me show you this. In Galatians chapter 1, the focus has got to be off of us and it's got to be totally on Jesus. Totally on Jesus. The message of salvation, of getting to heaven, is not a man-centered message. It is a Christ-centered message. It's focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 1, Paul begins this epistle. He gives some introductory words here. We'll come back to this next week and get into this a little bit deeper than what we're going to do this morning. But he says that once again in verse 1, "Paul, that apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, and to the churches of Galatia." He says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Now look in verse 4, "who gave himself." In the context, he says, "Grace and peace be unto you from God the Father," and from who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? From who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes to the next verse. In verse 4, it says, "who gave himself." Who's it referring to? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, look at this, gave himself for our what? Sins. Now notice what it says. "That he might deliver us from this present evil world." So the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself in sacrifice on the cross for our sins so that he might bring deliverance to us. He might bring a home in heaven to us. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would please, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm just laying a foundation for where we're headed in this study, because the book of Galatians is a defense of the gospel, the grace of God. These Judaizers had invaded territory. They had invaded the territory of the people of God. And some of those people had believed what they had heard and now were being led astray from the truth. And Paul is writing this epistle standing for the truth, saying, no, what they've said is not right. Use your head. Think about what the Bible says. Did you get perfect by your flesh? No. How did you receive the Spirit? Through the hearing of faith or the works of the law? Through the hearing of what? Faith. He's taking them back to Jesus. He's pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, notice in verse 24, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, says this, who his own self, who Jesus, his own self, bear, get this now, he bear our what?
Sins.
Our sins. The Bible says he bear our sins in his own body on the tree, referring to the cross, that we being dead to sins, now get this, should live unto righteousness. Look at the last phrase. By whose stripes ye are what?
Healed.
Ye were healed. That's not talking about physical healing. That's talking about the spiritual healing of our soul. That's talking about the forgiveness of our sins. That's talking about being brought into a right standing before God. That's talking about being redeemed. That's talking about being justified in the sight of God by His stripes, by His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. We have our salvation. Our works have nothing to do with it. What Jesus did on the cross for us has everything to do with it. Everything to do with it. Our focus is not on us. Our focus is on Him. Look over in chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I just want you to grasp. I want you to understand this gospel, the grace of God. I want you to understand where Paul's going in this epistle. I want you to understand our need to stand for this message. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, look in verse 18. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says, for Christ also hath once, here it is again, he once what? Suffered for sins. Now get this. The who? The just for the unjust. That's like saying the innocent one dying for the guilty ones. And where do we fit? We fit into the guilty ones. The Bible's concluded all under sin. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter. We're all under what? Sin. There's none righteous in God's sight. No, not one. There's none that doeth good in God's sight. No, not one. We're all sinful people who need God's forgiveness. And here this one who had never sinned, who came down to this earth as the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life, would love you and I so much that He would go and die in our place. He would take the penalty of sin on our behalf. That's what that verse is teaching. He took the judgment of sin on our behalf. Look what the verse says. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for who? The unjust. Now look at the verse. That we can get to Him by being good and going to church and getting baptized and putting money in the offering plate and putting more money in the offering plate. Doesn't say that, does it? No. By the way, if you put money in the offering plate this morning and think it's going to get you to heaven, see our treasure afterwards, He needs to give it back to you, because it's not going to get you there. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Jesus said when He walked the face of the earth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. He's it. And we understand this issue of the gospel, the grace of God. Man's works have nothing to do with it. Jesus has everything to do with it. And if we're going to stand for that message, church, there's a third truth that I share with you. And that is, we've got to be faithful to tell people that salvation, this salvation that Christ died to provide for us, is received through faith alone in the person of Jesus Christ alone. It is not a combination of Christ plus your works. Take your Bibles and go back to the book of Galatians. I want to say that once again. Go with me to the book of Galatians. We're going to be in chapter 2 once we get there. Galatians chapter 2. But I want you to understand this, and I'm going to repeat it here this morning so that you can get it and understand it. If we're going to be true to this message that's called the gospel, the grace of God, then we must insist that the Bible teaches that salvation is received through faith alone, in the person of Christ alone, and not through a combination of faith and works. I was speaking to a dear lady, just this past week. Had a very nice conversation with her. It was a very cordial conversation with her. And in fact, my wife came around to see what I was doing. And she said to my wife, don't worry, he's just preaching to me. He's helping me. And she was a very nice lady. We just had a nice cordial conversation. But she was wrong on her ideas of what it took to get to heaven. She said to me, I know Jesus shed his blood in order to wash away my sin. But I have to do my part. I've got to get baptized and I've got to make sure I live right. And I tried to explain to her that her part was not getting baptized and living right. That's the works of the flesh. That's not faith. I tried to explain to her that her part was believing God, putting her trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. We're going to see that emphasized over and over and over in this epistle. In Galatians chapter 2, we see it in verse 16. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, the Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now understand, Paul's going to be emphasizing the works of the law in the book of Galatians because of the Judaizers. What were the Judaizers saying? Unless you're circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be what? Can't be saved. And so he's going to emphasize the work of the law. But we can take any element of human work and fit it in there, knowing that a man is not justified by his baptism, by his good works, by his good deeds, by his church membership. See, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but look at it now, but by the what? Faith of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Don't go to sleep yet. Haven't had lunch yet. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the what? Faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have what? Believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the, look at it now, by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. My friend, we're not going to meet one person in heaven who got there by keeping the works of the law. Not one. We're not going to meet one person in heaven who got there by any works. Everybody we meet in heaven are people who are going to get there who got there through faith in Jesus Christ. But to him that worketh not but believeth on Jesus, who justifies the ungodly. It's our faith that's counted for righteousness. Let's move on. Chapter 3. I want you to see this. Don't take my word for it. Take the Bible for it. And in Galatians chapter 3, in verses 8 and 9, Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, in verses 8 and 9, the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through, here it is, through what? Faith. Preached before the gospel, the good news of Christ, unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of, verse 9, they which be of what? Faith are blessed with who? Faithful Abraham. And then verse 11, chapter 3, verse 11. In chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. It is shining. It's set forth. I'd say it's written in the sky, but it's not written in the sky. It's written in the Word of God. Amen. Settled forever. The just shall live by faith. My friend, you're going to be justified in the sight of God? You must put your faith in Jesus. Oh, preacher, there's got to be more to it than that. Oh, there's got to be more to it than that. That's exactly what Satan would want you to say. God says, no, there isn't any more to it than that. My son on the cross did all the work. Amen. Your part is to believe on him. Your part is to trust him. Your part is to abandon your works, yourself, your pride, your flesh, and say, God, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. But you love me. You sent your son to die for me. I trust him and what he did on that cross and nothing else to get me to heaven. And when you come to that point of believing God and putting your faith in Christ, it is then he saves you and gives you a home in heaven. Wow. Isn't that neat? That is neat. That's exciting. That's thrilling. Man! You want to be here next week, don't you? Verse 26. Look what it says. Verse 26. Verse 24 first. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. These are thrilling truths. I'm serious. In chapter 3, Galatians, verse 24, it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto who? Christ. And we'll explain that when we get to that. See, the law wasn't given to save us, but it was to be a schoolmaster to bring us to Jesus. We'll explain all this when we go through Galatians. But I brought you this morning because I want you to see the last part of it, that we might be justified by faith. And then verse 26, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So where are we at with all this morning? We're just scratching the surface, just giving an introduction to the book of Galatians. Next week we'll get deeper into it. But where are we at with all this that we've seen this morning? Well, my friend, if you're here this morning and you've never placed your faith alone in Jesus Christ alone to be your way to heaven, God wants you to do that. And God would want you to do that today. And not put it off. Today, without delay. If you're here and you are saved, you're a child of God, the gospel of the grace of God should matter to you. It should matter to you. It mattered to Paul. It mattered to Paul to the extent that when he heard those Judaizers had come to Galatia and started leading those people astray, he laid aside everything else in his life. He took out a pen and he began writing. The end result is this book that we have in our hand. And as we think about it next week, we're going to see when we get into the introduction a little bit deeper next week, we're going to see there's no fluff in that introduction. We're going to see that there's no warm words that Paul uses in many of his other epistles. He gets right to the point. Why? There have been people who had invaded the camp with air. And he'll say in chapter 2, I'm not going to tolerate that, not even for 1 hour. That the truth of the gospel might remain with you. And so it's got to matter to us, church. It's got to matter to us. And if it matters to us, we don't budge on these issues. Man's works, regardless of how sincere or well-intended, have nothing to do with man getting to heaven. Salvation by grace doesn't focus on us. It focuses on who? On Jesus. And the one way and the only way anyone can get to heaven, faith alone in Christ alone. No compromise. No compromise. We must stand where God teaches for the truth. Let's pray. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you're here this morning. You've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him and Him alone to be your way to heaven. And if that's true of you, my friend, I would encourage you this morning, right where you're sitting while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I would encourage you to believe God and trust His Son Jesus to be your way to heaven. You can simply do that by expressing to God in just some simple words. You don't have to use my words. You don't have to say anything out loud. God knows your thought and He knows your heart. But you can say something like this. You can say, God, I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to be certain of going to heaven when I die. And I saw this morning, it's not by my works. It's by your Son Jesus dying for me. I've never trusted in Him alone to be my way to heaven. But right here this morning, God, I'm doing that. I'm trusting Jesus to be my way to heaven. My friend, would you do that? If you're here this morning, you've never trusted in Jesus Christ alone, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter if you're a child, it doesn't matter if you're a teenager, it doesn't matter if you're a young adult, a middle-aged adult, or a senior adult, if you've never trusted in Jesus alone, would you trust Him this morning? God, nothing else, only Jesus, I'm trusting Him. If you're doing that this morning, I'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, and I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to ask you in a moment to slip your hand up and slip it down so I can pray for you. It's not raising your hand that gets you to heaven. It's putting your trust in Jesus. But if you said here this morning to God, God, I'm trusting your Son Jesus to be my way to heaven. You say, Pastor, I want you to know I did that, and I want you to pray for me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'll not identify you in any way. Just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just slip your hand and slip it down so I can pray for you? Anyone at all today, by way of uplifted hand, would say, here this morning, I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ to be my way to heaven. And Pastor, I want you to know I did that. I want you to pray for me. Anybody at all, just quickly and quietly slip your hand up, slip it down. We'll pray for you. Yes, God bless you. Is there someone else? Just by way of uplifted hand, would say, here this morning, I'm putting my faith in Jesus alone to be my way to heaven. I'd like for you to pray for me. Now, church, we need to stand for that message. We need to stand uncompromisingly for those truths. If we do not, we will lose it. We'll not have the faith to pass on to the next generation. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for this one that indicated by uplifted hand they were believing on your Son to be their way to heaven. We praise you and thank you for that. Lord, I pray for us as a church as we begin to study this little epistle that we truly could become grounded in the doctrine of the grace of God, and not only grounded in it, but Father, convicted, live with the conviction of standing for this message until we're called home to be with you. We'll praise you and give you the glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen.